In 2021, we, all of us together, did all that we could to defend religious freedom for all Americans. Today, we'll look back on the year and ask, how did we do? I'm Stuart Shepard, and this is First Liberty Live. You know, our digital team produced a terrific app for this program. It's a great way to follow and see the most recent episodes. You can also, through the app, listen to it as a podcast while you're working out or driving in the car. Just search for First Liberty Live in the App Store or on Google Play. You know, First Liberty had its busiest year ever in 2021, and we wanted to report back to you on how we've been doing. We're going to get an update on the victories this year from our Executive Vice President and Chief Legal Officer, Jeff Mateer. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Stuart. Great to be here.
I'm glad that you're here. We've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of good news and a lot for us to cover, but to make it easier for everyone to follow, we're going to break it down into the four key areas that First Liberty focuses on. That's houses of worship, schools, military, and the public arena. But before we get to the specifics on that, just how would you characterize the year that we just had here at First Liberty?
You know, on the one hand, it was a difficult year, and I think for all of us, I mean, as we adjust to what now the new reality of COVID and vaccine mandates. So the work was really, really hard, and the team at First Liberty put in extra effort. So that was the best of times, the worst of times. That's the worst of times. So let's talk about the best of times. I mean, it was a victorious year. I mean, the work that the team did and in protecting religious liberty and advancing religious liberty has never been as good as it was this past year. Just an outstanding year.
And let's talk about some of those victories. Let's start with houses of worship. We had everything from overzealous government enforcement of COVID regulations to a neighborhood synagogue that was challenged to a city trying to take a church's property. Give us some of the highlights.
It starts with COVID because we're still in it, and we still have governments who for a lot of reasons decide they're not going to respect religious liberty, and the target this past year has been, the battlefront has been Massachusetts. And so in Massachusetts, whether it's cities or state or the state governor, they continued to impose unreasonable, unfair COVID restrictions. And so we represented a church, Vida Real, New Life, in real life in Massachusetts, in which, I mean, just an incredible story, Stuart, where the local officials on a Sunday morning with police officers, and no other way to describe it, invaded the church because they wanted to count how many people were there, because they thought that the church was violating the occupancy restrictions, which it was not.
Right.
And in that one, we swooped in, had people fly up there, and the end result is the church was not found in violation. The church received an apology from the government officials, and they're up and they're running without those restrictions.
It's just so hard to imagine being in a church on Sunday morning and suddenly you've got police officers, health officials looking across the room, taking notes. I mean, that'd make anybody nervous.
Yeah, and it's silly, because literally City Hall was across the street.
Yeah.
And so they could have had discussions with the pastor, with the leadership team at any time. But they decided instead to invade their church on a Sunday morning, which was a largely Hispanic church with new Americans there. And so the whole threat of immigration, I mean, it's just a really, really bad scene. The good and the positive is, you know, we were able to show up, we were able to represent the church, and we got the apology and got strong promises that nothing like that would happen again.
What else have you got on your list?
Well, the other one, and this is why, I mean, you know, not every case is going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Does it have to.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And one of the ones, I mean, if I look back on 2021, and one of the ones that I feel very proud about and very proud for the team is a little church just south of Dallas in the city of Duncansville, Canaan Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And you know, Canaan Baptist had a piece of property. They had plans that they wanted to build on that property, but the city of Duncansville decided that they wanted the property, because they wanted a new fire station, even though there was a fire station across the street. They decided they want a new one, so what do? They seized the church's property. And we were able to successfully fight back for that little church. And, you know, that's why we're here. And yes, we had to file a lawsuit and we had to litigate, but in the end, there's not a Supreme Court decision, but you know what? That church got its property back and it's able to proceed with its plans. And, you know, that's why we do what we do. So, yeah. I mean, that's just an incredible one. Similarly, so we think of that. That's outside Dallas. Another one outside in the city of Houston. We represented a Jewish synagogue. Again, the city of Houston, in this case, trying to restrict them from meeting on their property. And as you know, Orthodox Jews have to walk. They don't violate their Sabbath.
They won't drive on Saturday.
They won't drive. And so they need to be located in a neighborhood so that people can get there. You have to be within walking distance. Yeah. And so the city of Houston sought to enforce restrictive covenants that would prohibit the synagogue, this Jewish congregation, from meeting. And again, we fought back. We had to file a lawsuit. But as soon as we filed the lawsuit, the city came to terms with us, and that synagogue is operating today.
Why is it important to push back on that kind of case? Because I have friends who ask me, well, I'm not Jewish, so that doesn't impact me directly. Explain the significance of that kind of win. Why is it so important?
Well, I mean, Stuart, you and I both love Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right? You know, who do they come for first? And right, any time religious liberty is threatened, anytime religious liberty is threatened of any person of faith, then it really threatens us all. So if you can stop a Jewish synagogue from meeting in a home, then you can stop a group of Christians from meeting in a home. If you can take the land of a small church in south of Dallas, then you can take the land from any church anywhere. So yeah, it impacts us all. So every battle's important because we have to stop when the government seeks to intrude upon religious liberty.
Those are the highlights that you wanted to hit, but you've got a few others I just want you to mention briefly as we finish out this topic.
Right. I mean, the other one, again, the city of Dallas went after a homeless ministry, and who was opening up its doors so that they could let people come in when it is cold. We haven't experienced much cold here this Christmas season yet, but we will eventually again. But last year, during some of the cold, and of course we know what happened in the Dallas area during this cold time, and you have homeless people, and this church was opening up its doors to allow the homeless to come in, and they were ministering to the homeless. And the city of Dallas, in misinterpreting its local ordinances, sought to shut them down. And again, we came to the occasion. And this one, we didn't have to bring a lawsuit, but we did have to do a strongly worded letter, and eventually the city came to it, and the good is that homeless ministry is going to be able to operate this season.
And the key on that one is they aren't normally open 24 hours a day. They don't usually have people who are staying over at night, but they saw the temperatures drop way colder than typical for this area. They realized it's dangerous for people to be outside, so they went the extra mile and said, for tonight, for a temporary period of time, you can come in and just at least have a place to warm up. Well, that seems like the right thing to do, whether you're Christian or not.
Well, it seems like the spirit of Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Christmas carol, and the city of Dallas was clearly Ebenezer Scrooge in this. And so we were able to make them see the light, and like Scrooge sees the light in Dickens' Christmas carol.
Capitol Hill Baptist, tell me about
that. Yeah, no, and again, this is Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser. Like a lot of cities, certainly in the liberal areas of the country, instituted through executive orders, instituted severe restrictions on churches, even at times where they allowed other organizations, other places to be open, but instead they attacked churches specifically.
Yeah.
In this case, Capitol Hill Baptist is a large Baptist church right in the shadows of Capitol Hill. And they were attempting just simply to meet outdoors, and the mayor was messing with them. And we, with a team of great volunteer attorneys at WilmerHale, one of the most prestigious law firms in the world, joined together to protect the church, and were able to successfully win at the federal district court. And then we resolved the case, and which always makes us on the legal team happy, is the city had to pay for that. And they actually had to pay our attorney's fees and pay our volunteer attorney's fees. And that's a good day, because that's a good message to send cities, that when you mess with people's religious liberty rights, you're not just messing with their rights, that ultimately you might have to pay tax dollars for it. So hopefully you won't do that in the future.
Under the heading of schools, we have everything from graduation speeches to religious accommodations concerning vaccinations to something as basic as lights on a football field. Give me the highlights.
Well, we'll start with lights on the football field. So there's in the Dallas area, there's a small Christian School, Lucas Christian Academy.
One of our coworkers has a daughter who goes one, there.
And Kelly Shackelford's children went to Lucas Christian Academy as well.
Yeah.
And so Lucas, they usually play on Saturdays, but they wanted to do their homecoming game and they wanted to do it on Friday night. And so they wanted to use temporary lights and put up those temporary lights and have their football game, Friday Night Lights, right? I think there's a TV series and a movie about that. They wanted to have Friday Night Lights. They play six-man football, which my children played, which is an amazing game because it lets kids who normally wouldn't be able to play 11-man to play six-man. And that's all well. And in the past, they had gotten this permit, but for not good reasons, the city this time decided they were not going to approve their temporary permit to have lights. We came to the fight with some great volunteer attorneys, and unfortunately, although we communicated to the city to show where they were wrong, because down the street was a football stadium with lights.
Yeah.
I mean, so
at
the public schools, public schools get to have lights, but we weren't going to let the small private Christian school have lights. Obviously, that's illegal. And we went to court, pointed that out, and the good news is they got to have their homecoming game. And so they had Friday night lights, they had homecoming, and the school got to be treated fairly and equally, another victory.
And you mentioned earlier, not every case goes to the Supreme Court. One like this, it's really important for it to happen quickly because it was on a time crunch. The game is on a set day, and this happened in a very short window of time.
That's right. We literally had hours to get this fixed.
All right. Yeah. What else you got?
Yeah, in the schools, I mean, in the age of where parents are fighting back against outrageous things that schools are doing in the public setting. In a case that, again, this is one that didn't result in a lawsuit, didn't go to the Supreme Court, but I think is really important and also something probably when we look to the future, what we will be doing in 2022 and beyond, is representing parents and students who are not going to accept a school district pushing down beliefs that are contrary to the beliefs that the parents are trying to instill in their children.
Okay.
And so this case comes from Illinois, and we represented a young lady, Markel McBride, against the Illinois Mathematics and Science Academy. So it's a special school for very, very bright students, and Ms. McBride was one of those very, very bright students. She should get to attend that type of academy. But in the academy decided it was going to require all students participate in what they called a gender and sexuality program.
In order to graduate.
And Ms. McBride and her parents objected to that because of their religious beliefs, because it was pushing a certain worldview that was contrary to her worldview. And she was willing to do an alternative program, but she didn't want to hear, their ideology.
And have to affirm it, really. And when it comes
by
to
participating
the testing and participating, you've got to, in a
you have to recount, you have to put down that you agree with what it's saying.
Yeah.
And so, and everybody can just imagine what, because it's very leftist on gender and sexuality and not close to being biblical, and actually the contrary to the biblical understanding. Yeah. And that's why Mikhail and her parents objected to it.
Which seems reasonable enough.
Yeah, very reasonable, except until we showed up, they were denying that, and then we're not going to allow her, that would put in jeopardy her graduation.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we again showed up. This time it took a letter, took some meetings, and eventually the school district did the right thing. And that's good. We applaud them for that. But no doubt this is going to be a recurring issue.
Yeah.
When Christian families attend public schools and the public schools is pushing a certain agenda that's contrary to religious beliefs, we're going to have more and more conflicts. And we're seeing that throughout the country.
Another topic that is coming up in classrooms is critical race theory. People are having to push back against that.
The exact same thing. And that's why, a couple other important cases that we did last year, and no doubt we continue to see these, is during graduation time. We had the honor to represent this past year, two young women who were willing to stand up when they were told to eliminate any references to their personal faith in their graduation remarks.
Here's what blows me away. I've been talking about these issues for decades. Mm-hmm. You would think by now every school in America would understand that when a student achieves through academic standing the right to give a speech to classmates, that he or she has the freedom to say what's on their heart, whether it's religious or whatever, because the school's not choosing them, the school's not endorsing it. They've achieved that. But yet school officials all over the country, every single year we have to push back on this.
No, I know. It's incredible. I mean, I've been practicing law for over 30 years, been doing religious liberty for, well, at least part-time for over 20, but professionally for most of my professional life. Yeah. And these cases of, like you've said, they've always been there. But we had to continue to fight back because, yeah, you know, these students, they don't, in a famous case, they don't lose their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gates.
And the other issue that we had to deal with in schools, it comes all the way back to COVID again, and that is vaccine mandates.
Yeah, and so we very, very early in the process of vaccine mandates this past summer, represented an outstanding young woman, Jackie Gale, who had been enrolled and completed her first year at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. They decided that they were not going to allow her to re-enroll unless she got the jab. And for religious reasons, she had never, her family, and through the, because of their religious beliefs, objected to vaccines.
All vaccines.
Not just COVID-19, but all vaccines. And they were not going to allow her to enroll any longer. And we were able to convince the university that violated her religious liberty rights. And the good news is she's enrolled.
One area where First Liberty has been active for many years is religious freedom in the military. And surprisingly, many of those cases over the years have involved chaplains. Same thing this year.
Yeah, no, and they keep coming. And it's sort of like you mentioned, we keep getting the graduation cases. We keep getting, and actually it's increasing. And I know you spent some time with my colleague Mike Berry,
yep,
who it's not his full-time job, but it's become his full-time job is protecting military members. From this past year, one of the cases I'd like to highlight is a chaplain, Andrew Calvert, who's in the U.S. Army, stationed here in Texas and at Fort Hood. And Chaplain Calvert did a social media post in which he questioned, based again on his religious beliefs, on his personal time, on his personal page, he questioned the military's reversal of the transgender ban. And as a result, the military was proceeding, the U.S. Army was proceeding, taking action against him because of his personal posting on his social media page on a religious topic in which he's a chaplain ordained.
And what blew my mind on this one was, at the time he posted it, that was the official position of the military.
That's right. He was saying, don't reverse the ban, and then they eventually do reverse the ban.
But then, while they were still holding the same position, they want to tag him.
That's right.
Wrong.
No, it's wrong. And the good news is, we got that fixed for him.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt, as we know, whether it's we're fighting for Navy SEALs or fighting for other military members, the attacks on the military against people of faith are accelerating.
And I want to talk about that. I know we're looking back at victories over the past year, but we also have active cases,
yes,
right now that I'd like for us just to touch on briefly. You mentioned the Navy SEALs. We've also just filed suit in the last few days regarding replica dog tags with,
right,
inspirational scripture verses and sayings on them. Just give us an update on those two, please.
Yeah, so the Navy SEALs is proceeding to hearing this week, and we're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
We think we've got some really good arguments to protect the religious liberty rights of Navy SEALs who are being punished just for asking for their religious rights to be protected. And then the military, in the briefings in the case, the military is basically arguing they don't have to follow federal law. That, you know, everyone else has to follow the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but not the military, that they're somehow above that. Well, you know, just like the schools, you don't lose your constitutional rights when you join the military. And you,
yeah,
certainly, we should want and honor people of faith in our military. I mean, that's the backbone of our military. And so that's important. And then the Shields of Strength case is simply, again, it's a great company, Kenny Vaughn and his company in producing these dog tags that, you know, George W. Bush honored someone who gave the ultimate prize, who had that dog tag. And the fact that the dog tag with a scripture reference on it is so comforting to our men and women who serve. But we have this outside group, the misnamed military freedom. What is it? Military religious freedom. I can't even say it because it's so misnamed. It should be Military Freedom From Religion Foundation, but it's not called that. They cloak it in calling it the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which is not what it is.
And they're one of the usual suspects when these cases come up. They send out letters all the time complaining about things.
And
what they do.
And they complained. And, of course, you know, the Biden military listens to those folks, unfortunately. And the result is that they're penalizing Kenny Vaughn and his great company and telling him they can't produce these dog tags. And it's just, again, it is evidence of a more serious problem, which is a deliberate attempt to take faith out of our military. And Stuart, with the conflicts and the threats in the world today, we don't need to be losing good men and women of faith from our military. It's just too important.
Let's talk about the public arena. We're going to talk about, this is wide-ranging. I mean, we've got everything in here from whether a juror can ask for God's guidance. We've got nativity displays and a challenge against the IRS, which we'd all like to do it one time or another in our lives.
Yes, absolutely.
Give me an update.
Yeah, so we start with the IRS challenge. This was one of those strange ones. And
it looked fake.
Yeah, that was mine when it was first brought to me, and because we got the request for legal help from the group, and then they said, well, this is what the IRS is saying, and I literally said, this has got to be fake. This has got to be fake. I mean, I was thinking for our own reputation. Look, we can't go crazy on this because if this is fake, it could be a setup. Yeah. I mean, that's how bad it was, because the letter, it basically saying that the Republican Party is associated with biblical principles, and therefore, you know, if you're for biblical principles, then you must be a Republican, and therefore you can't be tax exempt. I mean, it's just crazy logic, but it was true. That's what the IRS believed. And again, fortunately, we responded. And we fought back. We enlisted members of Congress to help us fight back.
Yeah.
And our allies there together, we fixed that wrong. And the good news is that the nonprofit Christians Engage got their tax-exempt status.
And to show how weird it was, it had a little legend at the top where it assigned letters of the alphabet to phrases. And then in the letter, the letter proper, these letters of the alphabet would show up. So the one that I wanted to have a T-shirt made that said, the inerrant M, because M stood for Word of God.
Right.
But they didn't want to put it in the letter, but yet they put it in. It was the weirdest, strangest
thing. Yeah, and the letter D meant Republican Party. So that, you know, who knows? Only our IRS. So that obviously was important. And quite frankly, a little fun.
Yeah.
Anytime that we can, I better stop there. I don't want to get audited.
What else you got?
Yeah, the other one. And so we were able, Judge Mack, which I think our viewers are familiar with the great Justice of Peace from the Houston area. Judge Mack, man of faith, man of principle, decided that he wants to open his courtroom, his court proceedings, with an invocation. And he's got a system in place to represent diverse faiths, to give the opportunity for them to pray in his courtroom. We've got the Ten Commandments in the U.S. Supreme Court.
We
start Congress with a prayer.
Yeah.
Appropriately.
They have a chaplain.
We start in Texas. We start our legislative proceedings in both chambers with prayer. But this group from Wisconsin, Freedom From Religion Foundation, decided they objected to Judge Mack's opening his courtroom in prayer. And they convinced a federal district judge that was wrong. And so we appealed that case. And the positive is, while the case was on appeal, we sought an order to allow judgment, to overturn the district court and allow Judge Mack to continue with his prayers while the case was on appeal.
Yeah.
And the Fifth Circuit accepted our arguments and they stayed, which meant stop the lower court order, which has the effect of Judge Mack gets to continue while they consider the case on appeal. It's a good sign for the appeal,
yeah,
because if they didn't think that, then they wouldn't have granted that stay. So that is continuing. And then also, you mentioned the case involving a juror, which again, another one of those, a strange case, just because of the facts make it strange, but there was a criminal proceeding going on in Florida, and during jury deliberations, one of the jurors let known that he had prayed and was receiving guidance from the Holy Spirit. He had sat and heard the evidence and obviously was informed by the evidence, but he was praying to make sure, like one would think you would want to, having served on a jury,
yeah,
that you want people to have thoughtful, and certainly you want people to seek divine guidance if they believe in divine guidance, and this juror did. Because of that, he was struck from the jury. And so we didn't represent the defendant at trial, but we did take the case on appeal, and we were successful in getting the 11th Circuit to reverse that decision, to respect that, you know, when you go into the jury room, you know, you can seek God's help.
Because
okay,
every juror has to raise the right hand and swear or affirm, so help me God.
That's exactly
right.
That's
just
right,
part of the oath that they take. But if you actually believe it, can't be on the jury.
Right. And then the final one I wanted to mention, because it is, and you see, I hope you see, I've got my Peanuts Christmas tie on
very
today
much,
for
my
you.
Favorite.
Wearing a tie, and on this one, which again, this is it's sort of like the school graduation. Every Christmas, since I've been doing this, and probably as long as you've been doing it, Stuart,
somebody challenges
the nativity scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, that happened in, I don't know, you've ever been to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware?
I actually have. It looks lovely.
My college roommate's father had a Greek restaurant in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Okay.
And he would support us on this issue, no doubt.
Yeah.
But Rehoboth Beach had a Christmas display, and the Knights of Columbus, they provided a nativity scene for the Christmas display.
And it wasn't the only thing. They did up the whole area.
It was lots of lights, lots of different. So you had the secular, and you had the reason for the season. You had the nativity scene. And again, someone objects, and the city caves, and they ban the Knights of Columbus. Well, the good news is this past year we reached a settlement after filing a lawsuit,
yeah,
with the city of Rehoboth Beach, which restored the nativity scene. And that's the answer. I mean, that's, you know, at the end of the day, the nativity scene, the Supreme Court's spoken on this issue. Nativity scenes are fine.
Yeah.
They should be fine. This was the Knights doing it. I mean, so it's even a private party doing it. There's no problem with that. And
yeah,
I mean, that's why we celebrate the season.
And we talk about how these cases have impact beyond the facts of each individual case. We had the Bladensburg Peace Cross that we did. And part of what came out of that was it at least cast some doubt on whether someone who's offended could bring a lawsuit like that. And that's why we keep pressing these cases as well, to try to affirm being offended is not reason to bring a lawsuit. That's not enough, right?
Yeah, no. We had in the past, we've had cases where people actually drove to the item,
to be offended,
the cross, so that they can be offended, and then they go file a lawsuit. So
yeah,
no, they're being offended. Look, I think I've said this before, probably with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm offended about a lot of things, but that doesn't mean I can bring lawsuits on those things. Some
yeah
days I wish I could, but you know, that's a topic for another day.
There's one other item I want to get your thoughts on before we wrap this up. It was not a lawsuit, but it was a year-long campaign that we did concerning the efforts, the drive to change the very structure of the Supreme Court, to change the way that it operates. We called it the Supreme Coup, C-O-U-P. A lot of people signed on to our letter for that, and it had an impact.
Yeah, no, it absolutely did. This is one of those things that we probably won't appreciate how important it was, perhaps to someday when we have full knowledge.
Yeah.
Because when you stop something, you just know you stopped it, right?
Yeah.
And you don't appreciate, perhaps, if we had failed, the consequences. And I should mention, it's not over yet. And I think that's important, but...
The commission is wrapped up, but the effort will continue.
That's right. The commission is wrapped up. And I think, you know, we neutralized what the commission could have done. And so efforts from the left believed, and still continue to believe, that the Supreme Court should be expanded so that President Biden, for instance, could put more liberals to minimize the impact of the conservatives,
yeah,
and specifically minimize the three appointees by President Trump. And so anytime there's a decision that goes against their way, they're going to scream,
yeah,
and want that. And so what Biden did, even though he had been on the record previously opposing it, so he tries to sidestep the issue by appointing this commission,
yeah,
that leaned very, very much to the left. So these weren't, I mean, Kelly Shackelford wasn't on this commission.
Didn't get invited.
No, he did not get invited. So it was a who's who of liberal scholars and academics. But even that commission, after hearing testimony, and of course, as you know and our viewers know, we were involved in making sure public opinion got there. We filed a very lengthy comment.
Sent a lot of letters, a lot of signatures that people signed on, so that they know the American people were paying attention.
Overwhelmingly against it.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly against it. And we provided all that information to the commission. And so what the commission did, which I think is a victory for us, is they said, we're not gonna opine on that issue. Here are the things in favor of, here are the things against, but we're not gonna opine. Now that's a victory, because the commission didn't recommend. Now,
the primary thing against, by the way, is the U.S. Constitution.
Well, that's right. I mean, which, yeah, well, but that, how does that stop the left?
I don't know.
It never has. But it should. Even this month, and just a little while ago, we've now seen Lawrence Tribe, who's a famous left-wing Harvard professor, who's now coming out advocating for court packing, yeah, packing the Supreme Court. And even in recent days, Senator Elizabeth Warren has expressed her support for court packing. Now, I don't know if I ever agree with Elizabeth Warren, so I don't, or Lawrence Tribe, but it tells you, although we've had a victory in the war, the war's not over. This could come up again, especially if the Supreme Court issues some unfavorable opinions. And so think of the issue on a pro-life issue,
yeah,
or on abortion, or on one of our religious liberty cases.
Before I let you go, I want to give you a chance to, we have a lot of folks who are watching who are supporters of First Liberty. I want to give you a chance as one of our C-team members to thank them,
yeah,
for supporting this effort, because they're, everything you just talked about, they're part of. They had an influence in that.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I first just want to wish you just an incredible Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you and your family. And our prayer here for you is that God would bless you abundantly beyond all that you can think or ask or even imagine during this holiday season. And as Stuart said, we couldn't do what we do. We couldn't have these victories, and we just scratched the surface on the hundreds of matters that have been successfully resolved for people of faith this past year. We couldn't do that without you and without your generous support. So God bless you. Have a great holiday, and Merry Christmas to all.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the work you do. Appreciate your highlighting for us some of the things that we did this year, but there's a lot more. But that, I think, gives people a sense of the work that we've been doing.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks again. If these are outcomes you would like to see happen in the real world, we invite you to partner with us here at First Liberty Institute. Your gift today will help bring about victories for religious freedom in 2022 and beyond. And on our website, just look for the big red Give button. And I want to say thank you in advance from all of us for your generous support. As Jeff said, we cannot do this without you. You are an important part of making these positive outcomes happen in the real world. So this week we took a look back. Next week we're going to look into the new year. Our guest will be First Liberty President Kelly Shackelford. There are many opportunities on the horizon. We want you to know what we're looking at coming up in 2022, and Kelly and I will talk about that next week. Meantime, we will see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.